I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. And as promised, he is Bruce Pearl. He is the coach of the top 10 ranked Auburn Tigers. One of our favorite guests to always catch up with, and he joins us now. Coach, how are you?
John, we're doing well. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Everything is good.
Thank you for the time.
So lots to get to with you, but obviously, as you know, I talked to you for the piece that's now up over at The Athletic. It's 10 years since 1-2, and the series resumes. And I know, obviously, the names and the faces have changed, but you were such an integral part, you know, of that rivalry and of that series. What does it mean to you now, Coach, that, you know, to see Memphis and Tennessee playing once again?
I think it's great that they're playing again, and I congratulate the, you know, the administrations and the coaching staff for recognizing, I just think, the importance of the series, how much it means to the fans. You know, I just remember being at Tennessee, and, you know, I loved Memphis high school basketball because they played fast and they were athletic and so many terrific players. And we had J.P. Prince and Dane Bradshaw and Wayne Chisholm, you know, from Jackson, but, you know, out that way. And I couldn't recruit Memphis to save my life because the way I perceived it, people from Memphis loved Tiger basketball. They loved Tennessee football, but they didn't like Tennessee basketball because we would compete against Memphis basketball. And so there was a sort of a love-hate affair with Memphis, Tennessee, and the Tennessee Vols. And I was on the receiving end of a lot of the hate.
It felt like, Coach, though, that it was always love from you, though. You know, like you would expect maybe, you know, there'd be a little bit of reciprocation, but it always felt like, you know, you just wanted to hug. You just wanted to hug back. That's all you wanted to do in Memphis.
I did. Listen, it's Tiger Town, and I loved the way they supported Memphis. And, I mean it was – and they identified with it. And – you know, for me, but I love the players that were coming out of Memphis, and you know, I couldn't get Willie Kemp. The list of guys that I lost to Memphis, all of them, just couldn't beat him. It couldn't beat Josh Pastner recruiting, couldn't beat Cal. Now we beat him on the court a couple times, but we couldn't beat him in recruiting.
Yeah, I want to touch on, you know, that really quickly, and I talked to you for the piece, but just that 1-2, and it's been 10 years, and obviously that's a game that is so fresh in the minds of so many who were involved, and you included. That stage, can you just touch on that? I know some Memphis fans think back to that game, and they maybe don't remember it as fondly because they were on the wrong end of it, but that stage I feel like you have to appreciate because it was so rare, it was historic, and it may never happen again the way the stars aligned that night.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to make a prediction. It's going to happen again because of what Penny's doing at Memphis and what Rick's doing at Tennessee. It'll happen again. And College Game Day will come back for that game again. But the biggest thing I remember was it was like a Super Bowl. I remember the hotel that we stayed in right across the street from the FedEx Forum, and I had a window that looked out at the front door. And when I woke up in the morning early, there were hundreds of people in line already. About probably 10-1 blue to orange lined up and ready to get into the game. And it was just a different level of electricity and excitement. And the thing that I was most, one of the things I was really proud about was the fact that it wasn't in Raleigh. It wasn't at Cameron Indoor. It wasn't at Fog Allen. In Memphis, Tennessee, all eyes of the world of college basketball were on a program that at the time I think was in Conference USA and a program that was not thought to be an elite program in the SEC at that time. We're playing in the biggest game of the year in the non-conference, the highest rated game at that time ever for ESPN. And I was just really proud to be a very small part of that.
Bruce, real fast, you told them at the rendezvous before the game, your Tennessee fans there, that you were going to win the game, and you told John for the piece that you really believed that it wasn't just smoke, that you really truly believed it. As a coach, why'd you believe it so much? You had a team that wasn't as talented as Memphis, I guess, man for man. But why'd you know? Did you know you were the better coach that night? Did you know, hey, from what you guys had come from, Chris Lofton said it's because, you know, 3 years ago we weren't very good and we had this huge opportunity for us. We weren't going to let it pass us up. Why'd you know, Coach? How'd you know?
I think you just said it. The opportunity was there. And I told the team in the pregame talk, I said, listen, I don't know that we're the best team in the country. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Probably didn't think so, but I said, I don't know if we are. But I do know that we're 40 minutes away from being the number one team in the country. Yep. I thought for 40 minutes we could go get that number one.
Yep.
We could, because we just had to win one game in 40 minutes. Now, that didn't make us the best team in the country, and we obviously weren't. Kansas played Memphis for the championship, and Kansas won the championship that year. But if I didn't believe in my kids,
that's right.
Then how could they possibly, you know, believe in themselves? And so, that was a big part of it
yep.
for me to give them that confidence.
Coach, would it turn you to the present? Now, obviously, you've moved on and you've done it again. You've built up another program there in the SEC. Top 10, Auburn is taking on UAB tomorrow, or excuse me, on Saturday, CBS Sports Network. How have you done it? I mean, how have you done it at Tennessee? How have you done it at Auburn? These are not historically, you know, traditional basketball programs, but you built them up both into top 5, top 10 programs. Coach, what do you just have the magic touch? What is it?
No, John. Hey, listen, I appreciate it, but you know, first of all, man, I think raise the level of the expectations in the sense that, you know, I wanted our fans at Auburn to expect more from the basketball program than what they had expected. Same thing with Tennessee. Surround yourself with people better than yourself. You know, I've got a great staff, and so do that. Try to take, you know, kids that were, you know, had some character and were hungry. You know, J.P. Prince had something to prove in Memphis. Remember, John, Coach Calipari was calling J.P. by the wrong name
yep.
the week of the game. You remember that?
Yes.
I think he was calling him J.R. or something
PJ,
like that.
PJ, I think.
He wasn't doing it at all to slight J.P. He really, truly got his name mixed up with somebody else. But that was a driving force. You know, Dame Bradshaw always played with a chip on his shoulder. You know, Memphis didn't want Wayne Chisholm. You know, they'd get their pick of the litter, and our guys would land a misfit twice in some way, shape, or form. You know, Juwan Smith wasn't recruited by anybody, and so we played that card. You know, we respected Memphis, but we weren't afraid of them. And everybody else was afraid of Memphis, because Memphis will come in there, they won't just beat you; they'll beat you like a dog. They'll embarrass you. They take your lunch money and watch you cry. And we had our kids prepared to understand that that's how they were going to play. And I say that with all due respect. And while we respected them, we weren't afraid of them.
Coach, real quick, because I've always wanted to ask you this. On Jared Harper, a kid for you that brings a lot of energy, I think he's your second leading scorer, does it all at, you know, 5'10", 5'11". When you're watching a guy like that, there's so much of the, hey, that kid's 5'9", 5'10", not going to be able to play at the next level. How do you know when you're recruiting a kid that size? How do you measure that heart and know what you're going to get? Memphis has kind of got that. I think they hope they have it with Tyler Harris. How do you sort of measure that, Coach, when you've got a player that size? How do you know, okay, I want that one?
Couple of things. I was one of the first guys to offer Tyler Harris when I was at Auburn.
Yes, sir.
I came and saw him really early on in his career. Loved him, and then we wound up getting Jared Harper, and obviously Tyler, you know, stayed at Memphis and stayed home, and we weren't involved in his recruiting late, but I was one of the first guys to recognize him because obviously the Harris family had a great run at Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
and so I knew who Tyler was. I knew his family was. Really happy for him. Really proud of him. You know, speed and quickness are a big part of the game.
Yeah.
Size matters, but speed and quickness are a big part of the game. And so I tell you what, the NBA would be a better league if they'd have more little guys, get those little guys back into the game like they were at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, everybody, it's all about size. And these guys can't shoot the ball. They can't handle the ball. They don't play make. I'd rather watch a little guy play than a big guy all day, every day. And so I knew Jared was special. And we offered
him.
He didn't have any SEC offers.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, our jobs as coaches try to put the kids in position to be successful. Last thing I'd say is this. Coaches get way too much credit for developing players. Most guys come to us as pros. And the ones that don't come to us as pros,
mm-hmm.
they're the ones that put the time in. They're in the gym.
Yeah.
They're in the weight room. They've got the discipline. Jared Harper will play in the NBA. It has nothing to do with me or my staff. We're doing our job supporting him. It's because that guy right there pays the price.
Yep.
Coach, you've been very generous with
Man.
Your time the last week. We appreciate
Thank
the
you,
time,
Coach.
As always.
Well, good luck. It's very exciting, and I hope it's a great game. And I know it's going to be a great series.
Hey, continued success to you, sir.
Absolutely.
Okay. All the best, guys.
Appreciate you, Coach.
He is Bruce Pearl, Auburn basketball head coach.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.